So what does all the buzz about podcasts mean for you? You, listening to this show right now. If Alex Bloomberg is right and commercial podcasts are about to explode, how will that change what you hear on your favorite public radio station? We turn to this guy for some insight.
I'm Chris Bannon. I am Vice President of Content Production and Development for WNYC here in New York, and I manage some of our terrestrial radio shows and the development and production of many of our podcasts.
Over the past year, Chris Bannon's station has launched three new podcast-only programs. You can't tune them in on your radio dial. He's also taken in two other podcasts that were started independently. So he seemed like just the person to ask about what podcasting means for public radio.
I think podcasting has been the best thing to happen to public radio in my lifetime. So by launching something as a podcast, it's actually much easier to get off the ground. You start with someone who has an idea, or perhaps even an existing podcast that has just, they've just reached a point at which they need the help of an institution like WNYC. For instance, with The Longest Shortest Time, we approached Hillary Frank, who had a podcast every other week about parenting, and she didn't have a full-time producer. It had reached a sort of point at which marketing and promotion would really help it grow, and we wanted to have a podcast project that would serve the audience that she was talking to.
This is The Longest Shortest Time. I'm Hillary Frank. I started recording this podcast in my bedroom 4 years ago after a pretty rough childbirth experience. I started the show because I needed to connect with other moms. It was just amazing how many of you wanted to tell your stories on this show or just said that the stories were making you feel less alone too. Then WNYC picked up the show in May and made this an actual sustainable project. And I feel so lucky that I get the chance to tell your stories and help you to connect with each other. So thank you for that.
I don't see independent producers as competitors of ours, primarily because I believe the potential appeal of all the audio being made right now, I think, is still untapped. There was a survey this summer by Edison Research. They looked at the listening habits of several thousand people over the course of a day, everything from radio in your car to radio at home to podcasts. And on that day this summer, I think only 4% of listening was done to podcasts, which to me means we have 96% of listening that's up for grabs. I mean, we know people will continue to listen to the radio, but WNYC needs to think about its digital audience. The number of people who listen to our podcasts, Radiolab and Freakonomics Radio, Studio 360 on the media, millions and millions of downloads a month. We reach about a million plus people on WNYC AM and FM here in New York, but we're in fact really broadcasting now to a global audience. When I look at the future, when I look at a show that's in development now, I don't actually think about whether or not it's going to be a radio show necessarily first or a podcast first. However, I do think, and we've done this, shows that start as podcasts can become radio shows. Freakonomics Radio started as a podcast.
Hey, Freakonomics.
Is a college education still worth it?
Should tipping be banned?
How many parking spaces are
Why
there?
Why do drug dealers get
Hey, Freakonomics, I have a question for you.
The difference in tone between podcasts and terrestrial radio shows is actually one of the most exciting things for me, because I think it's much more informal than public radio has become.
I was like, does he want to kiss me? Like, I can't kiss this guy. He doesn't have his stuff together. Like,
it's much more spontaneous. Some people may say, well, it's more crude. You can hear the edits. It's not so highly polished. But I think the unscripted nature of a lot of it makes it more exciting to listen to.
This is Death, Sex, and Money.
It was such a sad, pathetic transition point in my life, but it really was one where I was like, okay, I have not had my stuff together, but you're giving me a chance.
I mean, I could tell. I was like, oh, he went out and bought new bedding. Like,
if you listen to commercial terrestrial radio, it's already really informal. For public radio, I do think we'll be looking at ways to introduce that kind of spontaneity and sense of fun into the work that we do without, I hope, losing our reputation for providing you with reliable, smart information, things you can use in your everyday life. All the things that we talk about during pledge drives for public radio, I hope will still be true as we enter, you know, a world that's primarily digital. In a way, we have found ourselves back in the middle of people's lives, just the way radio has been for almost a century. It's just that now there's a brand new tool, the smartphone, that makes it very, very easy for people to access our content.
That's Chris Bannon. He's VP of Production, Content, and Development at WNYC in New York. You can find an extended version of our conversation with him on our website. That's ttbook.org.